Welcome to PR After Hours, your twice weekly cocktail of business, PR, and marketing tips hosted by me, Alex Greenwood. Every week, we bring you virtual happy hours featuring business advice from entrepreneurs and leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. We're going to get started in just a moment, so stick with us.
This is Julie Cortez, freelance rock star, coming at you. You are listening to PR After Hours.
You know, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I'm a small business person, and in January, I believe on the 10th, I'll be celebrating an even dozen years in business as a small business person. I've been everything from a solopreneur all the way up to a small agency head and back down to solopreneur consultant these days. But you know, there's one thing that I think I run into over and over and over again with people who are starting up a small business of any kind, by the way, is there's so much. It's backbreaking at times. There's so many things you take upon your shoulders. And a lot of small businesses are so focused on, this is what I do, this is what I want to do. They don't think about the time saving, effort saving, gray hair forming, all the things that could go wrong, stuff that is out there that you can do, though. There's things that you can do that can eliminate a lot of that, or at least make the load a little lighter. And that's why I'm very excited to speak with Rick Lozano today. Rick helps people unlock potential and amplify their talent. And he does it all with his unique blend of energy, expertise, and a musician's soul. I love that. 20 years of experience this gentleman has in award-winning talent and leadership development programs. Rick brings his unique approach to audiences across the globe, combining his expertise as a world-class speaker with his talents as a singer, songwriter, and musician. He's the author of Acoustic Leadership, Develop a Leadership Culture That Resonates, and the owner of Unlock and Amplify. He has built a reputation for his refreshing delivery that leaves audiences raving, and more importantly, with action items they can immediately implement to produce change. And those action items are what we're going to talk about today, you small business people. So let's welcome everybody to the virtual lounge, Rick Lozano.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me, Alex. And hello to everybody listening. By the way, I was listening to your intro music and I was just swinging. I was like, oh yeah, this is what my soul needs today. Just a little bit of jazz. Oh, so thank you.
It's the lounge, right? It's the lounge vibe. So I'm glad, you know, I'm glad to hear that, man. You may be the first musician. You may be the first, maybe the second over the past 2 years we've had. So I'm excited to have you on here because I love music. And I think musicians just have a whole different way of looking at things in a business context.
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit about this. You know, you and I, when we engaged about getting you on the show, was about this, as I said in the intro, about helping small business folks. Because as I said in the intro too, and just here, and then I promise I'll shut up in a second here. But the point is, like, I just wrote a book on podcasting where I talk about all the time saving things and all the effort saving things I've done and learned the hard way over a dozen years of podcasting that I wish I had known when I started. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on where small business people need to focus some of their attention.
Yeah, definitely. I've got some thoughts on that. And a lot of it is based on my experience in the last 2 years, specifically as a small business owner. So for context, I've got over 20 years of experience in leadership and talent development. That's sort of my sweet spot, if you will. I've been working as a keynote speaker for about 8 years, and I started moonlighting on the side about 8 years ago while I had a full-time job, sort of building my next stage of my career. But I started my own company, Unlock and Amplify, in October 2019. In other words, right before it all hit the fan.
Ugh, poor guy.
So, not only was it challenging to start my business, but, you know, in those circumstances, it was a little bit different. I think the very first thing that I learned, though, was the value of a network, the value of relationships. As you know, sometimes, especially as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, it can be lonely. And you've lost that, you know, that group of people that you used to show up at work with virtually or in person every day. So now you've got to surround yourself. And I was very, very fortunate early on to connect with a group of people in a group coaching program. And I developed really fast relationships with these people. And having that network around me was so important. It really, really sort of helped me move forward through the COVID era. And not only, it actually was surprising, the first year into COVID, I actually did really, really well. And it was like, wow, the world's falling apart and my business is doing quite well in the worst of circumstances. And a lot of that had to do with the people, but it also had to do with the systems that I was building. One of the, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, elaborate. Tell me some of these systems, or give us an idea what you're, maybe a good concrete example of that.
Yeah. So one of the first things, especially for newer entrepreneurs and small business owners, you have got to have a CRM, a customer relationship management system. You've got to have systems in place and automation in place, because the truth is there's too much to do. There's too much to stay on top of. And I know, for example, I've been coaching several other small business owners over the last year. And by the way, I'm sharing with them what I learned over the course of the last 2 years. And one of the things I see over and over, for example, I was talking to a friend of mine, Taylor, she's an HR consultant. And I said, Taylor, what do your systems look like? And she said, well, I've got an Excel spreadsheet. And I said, okay, hold on, time out. You're going to kill yourself if you're trying to do your business through an Excel spreadsheet. And I said, look, the very first thing you need to do is get a CRM. Get all of your client information in there. Do everything in there. That is your one-stop shop for everything. And so we talked about those different systems. The other part of it was automations. So making sure that you've got all of these things in place so that you're automating the processes so you don't have to stay on top of all of it. Because it's too much, Alex.
Way too much. It's way too much. You know, and maybe you're going to get into this. Forgive me if I'm stealing your thunder on this little tip, though, that I put into my book and I tell everybody. I was driving myself crazy, Rick, with just the podcast, just booking guests. I was really blessed when I got on Matchmaker, and then some publicists got a hold of it for this show and my other show. But I was spending, I figured it out. I was spending legit my real time, 5 to 10 minutes per guest on just the initial back and forth on email. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have anything in place. So that's fine. And you've been through this, my laborious survey, and which I'm rerouting that. I'm revamping that too. It's a little too much. But I figured out, use Calendly. Use an automated workflow. And I've saved myself. I mean, I went down from 5 or 6 minutes per guest, you know, up front to probably a minute tops. And that's huge. If you add up, I mean, did 62 shows this year, and you add up all the time, that does add up.
It totally adds up. And there's so many different places where that little time-saving tip, or all those time-saving tips, really do add up to something huge. Templates for everything. A lot of people say, well, I'm not a template person because I want to customize everything. So for example, I do a lot of work as a keynote speaker, and there are a lot of keynote speakers who pride themselves. Oh my, every single presentation is the first of its kind. Which, by the way, is total bullshit. That's not true.
Totally.
What they do is they create these templates that are flexible, within which they can plug and play different pieces. And that was something that I had to learn, because I found myself, when I first started as a keynote speaker, I would reinvent every time for every client. And I was like, wait a minute, A, this is too much work. And B, there's not a solid brand behind this. I've got to not only templatize, but I need to create my branding and my voice and my umbrella and make it so that everything lives, you know, very cohesively right underneath my business brand, if you will. But yes, templates like crazy. Email templates, PowerPoint templates if you're a presenter, business templates of any kind, those things will really help you. Intake forms, for example, when you're onboarding a new client, all of those things are really, really critical. You know, it's funny too, I think as business owners, again, it's hard, it's challenging, there's a lot going on. I'm in a mastermind group with several other primarily speaking related businesses. So a lot of coaches, consultants, and speakers. And we were having a year-end call, and we all talked about our successes over the last year and our challenges over the last year. And one after the other, the biggest challenge that they had in the last year, they were trying to do too much.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just about the need for systems and templates. It was the fact that they were spreading themselves thin, trying to do all of these different forms of business revenue, business lines and whatnot. And the truth is they were lacking a focus. And I found myself, honestly, Alex, I found myself doing the same thing. Throughout the course of the last year, I was focused on all of these different potential revenue streams at the expense of the ones that were the most important to me. And so what all of us in the group realized was, look, we've got to get down to our core fundamental offerings, spend most of our time solidifying and building those out. And then as we begin to scale into larger teams, then we can go out and build those other things. But right now, we've got to stay true to those one, two, maybe three things that are the closest to us.
Rick, but confession time, you know, you go into business, right? You know, you're betting it all in a lot of ways. Right. And then something comes across the transom that maybe is not exactly your sweet spot, but it's, you can do it and it's money. But I here's my experience. You tell me, brother, besides the fact you're going to wear yourself out trying to be all things to all people, right? You're not going to do an A-plus job every time because it's not your core competency. You might do a B-minus job. You might even do a B-plus job. And I found that out and I thought, you know what? I'm going to end up turning off more people than I'm going to attract by just doing maybe just a slightly above average work. And if I just focus on the three things I was really good at, I'd get A-plus work. Does that ring a bell? Or
that absolutely rings a bell. And I, for me personally, what I realized was, hey, my two biggest sources of inspiration and energy are speaking and facilitating. So when I'm a trainer, when I'm doing leadership development workshops, or when I'm on stage as a keynote speaker, those are the areas where I do my best work. I get the best connections with the audience, and I've got to stop temporarily trying to do all of these other things like digital products and e-courses and stuff like that. Those are great. But right now, my focus needs to be on those just couple of things.
Rick, can you give us some advice then? This figurative small business person we're talking to doesn't know exactly, and I know that maybe that sounds lame, they should know what they're best at, but seriously, how would you go about maybe trying to like get some honest, fresh eyes who will have no skin in the game, who will just tell you straight up, hey, look, from what I know about you, you should focus on A, B, and C instead of Z, X, and J.
And my one word answer to that, mastermind. Find a group of people, four people, five people who you know you trust, and who also, by the way, have something in their business that you don't. People who can compliment you while at the same time you can learn from them as well, and have honest feedback loops with each other. That was one of the things that not only did I join a group coaching program, but we had an offshoot of that with, I believe there's five of us total in this program. And we would meet every 2 weeks and we would have these types of conversations, to your point, Alex, about what's working and where do we need to focus? And they, by the way, they called me out on it one day. I had this brilliant idea that I was really excited about. I was like, ooh, I'm having these coaching conversations with other small business owners. I should do more of this. I should start helping other small business owners. And they're like, Rick, shut the hell up. You're trying to do too much. You're operating outside of your zone of genius. You may be able to do those things, but don't, not right now. Focus right here because you're diluting your efforts by trying to do everything, right? So that little, that feedback loop is hugely, hugely important. But you got to have people you trust and who will honestly call you out on those things because they can see some of these things that you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I take a step back and just ask you, and if you're not comfortable recommending a specific thing, but is there a CRM that you kind of like, or are there a couple you might say for newbies, by the way, to try out?
So by the way, the CRM, the best one, and I've heard this a million times, the best CRM is the one you actually use, right? So whatever CRM you decide, get in there, live in there. I have been a huge fan of Zoho One. The Zoho One suite, which includes the Zoho CRM, is amazing. And what's cool about it is it's basically all of your business systems integrated into one platform. So not only do I have, and by the way, I'm not getting paid by Zoho, but this is just my experience. I used to be on HubSpot, which is a great platform.
Me too, yeah.
But Zoho served me better. So now I go in there and I've got my invoicing system, my basic financial system. I've got, you know, DocuSign ability. I've got contract creation, CRM, invoicing, you name it, all under one really pretty simple to use umbrella. It's also where I handle all of my email marketing, my social media campaigns and stuff like that. Wow. It's really cool. By the way, but in full transparency, I've stopped doing a lot of that stuff because I realized I was trying to do too much. So to me, the question, and this is something that I had to learn very early on, and I heard some really great speakers talk about this. When you're trying to figure out what work to do, do the work that generates revenue. So if social media is generating revenue, cool, do that. For me, it wasn't. So it was like, hey, step back from social media, focus on the things that are generating revenue, whatever that is for you.
I love that. That's such great advice. And it's kind of hard for some people because I think it's a normal human tendency to gravitate towards what's comfortable, what's easy.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it. I've had some really good years. I've had some fallow years. And if I'm honest with myself and if I listen to my masterminds, and I do have a little group like that, by the way, who they're my buddies, but they will let me have it when I just like yours did, you know, when you need it. But I have found that I think when I had some really some big challenges hit me, I just kind of not always, but would retreat kind of into my corner and just kind of like, well, it's too hard sticking my neck out here. And I don't want to, you know, cold call people. Or I don't want to do these things, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would retreat. So I think we should, I'll just say this. I'm not going to speak for you. I think I'm going to let you all listeners off the hook if you do that, because it's normal. The thing is don't wallow in it and do what Rick's telling you to do. You know, find those really key things, get the people who you trust. So I really appreciate what you're saying there, Rick.
Thanks. I really think that's important. You know, it as you said that, it made me think of something else. You know, automations are great. Templates and systems are great, but nothing replaces the human connection. And when I think back to my sources of business over the last couple of years, yeah, there's been some things that have come from cold calling and outreach and stuff like that. But the majority of my work has been based on business or previous relationships, previous clients that I've worked with, previous people I've worked with in my previous business. And those things is where the majority of my, I don't know, my success has been from relationships that I've built. I really can't overstate the importance of relationships, real relationships.
A good point. Tell us a little more about acoustic leadership, would you?
I'd love to. So Acoustic Leadership, Develop a Leadership Culture That Resonates is the book that I released this last June. And it is essentially trying to get back to the basics of what we really need from leaders, while at the same time presenting it in a consumable, entertaining sort of way. Now, the very first thing when people say, why are you writing a leadership book? There's a gazillion of them. And I said, you're absolutely right. Matter of fact, when I did a Google search, there was 561 million ideas on how to be a better leader. So why bother? And my answer to that was, well, A, we're still having challenges that we haven't solved yet. I know one of your recent podcast guests was talking about the Great Resignation and so on. And we see this disconnect between leaders and the people that they're leading. And the other thing that really stood out to me was information without emotion means nothing. We live in a world of infinite information. I can know, quote unquote, anything in a 2-second Google search. But all that information without an emotional connection means nothing. And that's what I wanted to bring to the conversation. My personality, my perspective, and a unique way of looking at things. And yes, I leveraged the world of music to sort of tell this story. And by the way, the real inspiration for it came from MTV Unplugged. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But MTV Unplugged, I was really focused on leadership development at the time. And it was just this noisy mess. You know, we were looking at, for example, all these giant lists of competencies and saying, hey, we need our leaders to do all of these things. And it was challenging for me because I was going, that's not realistic. You can't be great at 50 different leadership competencies. Why are we doing this to it? Why are we complicating this for our leaders? And it was funny. I was at work one day and I saw an advertisement that reminded me of MTV Unplugged. So I watched it. I pulled up one of the MTV Unplugged things and I realized there was three things that made these performances so great: simplicity, authenticity, and opportunity.
There you go.
So simplicity, it was scaled back. It was minimalistic. Authenticity, it was raw. People were in an intimate setting and, you know, they screwed up live. Some of them actually screwed up several times. And then finally, it was an opportunity to do things differently, both for the artists and for the musicians. And I realized that those three concepts, simplicity, authenticity, opportunity, when we talk to leaders, these are three buckets or three pillars from which they can do anything. Simplicity, make it easy for people to do their best work. Authenticity, like we've been talking about, build these authentic relationships of trust and accountability. And then finally, opportunity. Use your platform to give other people the opportunity to grow. when I think about leaders who had the biggest impact in my career, it's those people who gave me a chance, who gave me an opportunity that I didn't even know existed. You know, what's funny too, is as I wrote the book, I began realizing that everything I'm talking about goes far beyond leadership. It's how to be a good business person, an entrepreneur, how to be a good teammate, all of these concepts, you know, to our points here, right? Simplicity, make your systems really simple and automated. Authenticity, build those relationships with each other. Opportunity, say yes. When the right opportunity is in front of you, even if you're scared, go for it.
Man, you make it sound so easy, but I know it's not. These are hard learned lessons, my friend. I know this, right?
Hey, by the way, one thing on that, and I have to say this, say no. If your gut is telling you this is not the right client, say no. I made this mistake very early on in the COVID era, of course, because I was operating from that place of scarcity. I was like, oh crap, I don't know when I'm going to get my next paycheck. And so I had a client reach out to me and something just didn't feel right. But I was going, well, you know, I need the money. Alex, it was a bad idea. Not only did I make less money, I spent so much more time dealing with this one bad fit client that it just wasn't worth it. If something doesn't feel right, say no.
Man, I could do an hour on that in the past 12 years. I mean, you know, because you're operating from a position of scarcity. But the thing to remember, this is something somebody told me a long time ago that I should have remembered a couple of times in the past 12 years, is no is a complete sentence.
Oh, yeah.
What I like to do when it's a no, though, I'd like to send them away with a recommendation to someone else.
Yep.
And I don't know your exact situation, but my no's have not usually been because I think, oh, they're just bad people or anything. It's a bad fit. But I happen to know some people who might be a better fit. You know, they have better capabilities in this area. But it's like I said to you earlier, Rick, is that I was often willing just from the scarcity position to go grab it, whatever. And I ended up satisfying nobody. In fact, a couple of situations, pretty sure I hurt myself because I'm sure people said, well, that guy, he was a bust, you know, because I wasn't the right guy for them. I love that. Well, gosh, I could go on and on. You speak all over the place, don't you?
I try to, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you, what's the circuit we might find you on? Is it just everywhere? Or?
You know, these days it's just about everywhere. And of course, like so many other people, I've also transitioned to the virtual world. So I do a lot of work from here in my home office, but the speaking world is picking up again. We're hopefully turning that COVID corner. And so I'm starting to travel a lot more. I've got an HR conference, for example, in March that I'm heading to in Oakland, a talent development conference in May that I'm speaking at, and just lots of other opportunities with just different companies. So starting to get around a little bit more, and it's exciting to be back in front of people again.
Yeah, I miss speaking. I miss it terribly. I haven't got anything set up yet, but I hope to next year. I had to like wipe out like half a dozen things right when COVID hit. Just driving crazy. Well, have guitar, will travel. I know that's true. Hey, before we play out a little bit here, love it. Could you tell everybody how to connect with you and find out more information about what you do and how to get in touch?
So the easiest way is going to my website. It's ricklozano.com, and that's L-O-Z-A-N-O. If you want to reach out to me directly right there on my website, you can get my email address. You can also book time on my calendar if you want to talk about business opportunities or, you know, potentially having me come into your organization. So ricklozano.com is the place to go. The book, easiest way to get it is Amazon, of course. So Acoustic Leadership, Develop a Leadership Culture That Resonates. And yeah, that's the easiest way to reach out to me.
You know, Rick, first of all, the regular listeners know that you go to prafterhours.com and there'll be a complete page for this episode in the show notes, and you'll have a picture of Rick and he'll probably have a guitar. If not, you can envision this, but be a picture of Rick. There'll be links to everything we've discussed, including buy links for the book. But I'm just wondering, Rick, and this may be, he's already strapping on a guitar. Brothers and sisters, Rick, by the way, he's got a Spotify channel. He's got an album and everything, right, Rick? You do, don't you?
Six albums of original music on Spotify. Albums. Yeah.
It's crazy. Rick, would it be too much to ask for you to play us out today?
Alex, I would love to. And, you know, what's so funny, to all of our previous conversation, relationships and sticking in your sweet spot. I had someone change my life a while back. A leader said, Rick, you're great at three things. You're great at training, speaking, and music. Do those three things. And when I focused on those three things, it just, you know, things worked out for me. And, you know, as we mentioned, I'm a quote unquote real musician. I've got a lot of, you know, original music. But one of the things that I'm really good at is writing funny songs. It comes naturally to me. And for the longest time, I was like, well, you know, I'm a serious musician and I don't want to put that into the world. And then finally I said, you know what? It's fun. It's funny. Why the hell not? So these days I'm totally loving it. All right. So the last bit, relationships.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on LinkedIn. And as you and I both know, there's some great stuff on LinkedIn. And then there's the four messages I got this morning that were straight up sales pitches. So I used some of those exact sales pitches, Alex, and I wrote a song about LinkedIn. It's called I'd Love to Connect. All right, here we go. Hey there, Rick. I'd love to connect. No, you don't know me. We've never met. But based on your profile, you seem to be someone who should be connecting with me. As a full-service investment banking firm, we are approached directly by middle-market buyers actively looking for acquisition targets in your industry. Are you open for a brief 5 to 10 minute call? Hey there, Rick. Do you have some time? In just 20 minutes, I'm sure that you'll find our B2B solution cuts through the mess and directly enables your business success. I work for an investment firm and we just launched a new accelerator academy that helps early stage companies get to market better, faster, and cheaper. We should chat. But you, Alex, you know that when you don't respond, sometimes things get weird. They get dark. Hey there, Rick. You have yet to reply. I'm following up as I'm curious why. Unlimited success for a nominal fee. You really should be connecting with me. Don't you want to be successful? No. Here's the thing. Your approach is all wrong, almost like something in a parody song. I'm not even remotely a fit. Did you look at my bio? Did you give a shit? You didn't even try to figure out who I am. This message is headed directly to spam. Hey, meeting planner. My name is Rick. I'm a dynamic speaker who might do the trick at your zoology convention in Orlando next fall. Would it make sense if we jumped on a call? I think it would. Hey there, Rick. I'd love to connect. The LinkedIn song.
I was just going to be quiet and let this fade out. I have to say, my jaw hurts from laughing and smiling during this whole song. Oh, man. Rick Lozano, not only are you a delight and you have some great insights, you're obviously a talent. Thank you so much for joining us here in the virtual lounge today.
Alex, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for helping people, even like me, you know, business owners everywhere, entrepreneurs. Thank you for putting the good word out there and for helping so many of us. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you know what that means? Looks like it's last call here at your virtual lounge for PR news, views, and interviews. Don't forget, you can ask me a question anytime. You can do it through our Twitter account, which is @OursPR. Or, even better, you can send me a message vocally. I would love to hear your voice, and I'll answer it on the show. There's a link in the show notes. All you have to do is sign up through Anchor FM. It's free, doesn't take long. And you record your message, I get the message, I will play your audio, just give me your first name and the city you live in, and then I will answer the question to the best of my ability right here on the show. Don't forget, too, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can support it and help increase the frequency and value of the show. Just consider being a sponsor for your brand or your agency or just yourself because you're like, I like this show. or just drop a few coins in the virtual tip jar. Either way, there's links in the show notes. Please check that out. All of that, of course, being in the show notes where you're listening right now or at prafterhours.com. I see that they're turning up the lights. Last call is over, and I've got to clean up this virtual lounge. And until next time, I'm Alex Greenwood, and you've been listening to PR After Hours on Anchor FM.